And now, the Sandhills number one morning show. Mornings with the Leader Man. Here on Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM WEEB. And heard and seen around the world at talk973.com.
The best part of waking up is waking up with us.
Hey, da dee ding dong, a lang a lang a lang. Boom, ba-do, 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 ba-do.
Oh, life could be a dream. If I could take you up in paradise up above. If you would tell me I'm the only one that you love. Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Hello, hello again. Shaboom, and hoping we'll meet again. Oh, life could be a dream. If only all my precious plans would come true. If you would let me spend my whole life loving you. Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Now every time I look at you, something is on my mind. If you do what I want you to,
baby, we'd be so far.
Oh, life could be a dream. If I could take you up in paradise up above. If you would tell me I'm the only one that you love. Life could be a dream, sweetheart.
Good morning, Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM WEEB. This is Mornings with the Leader Man. Obviously, Leader Man's not here. He's still recovering from pneumonia. So we'll be back soon. This pneumonia hit him pretty hard, so he's slow on the road to recovery, but he will be back. Brad has slacked off today and decided to sleep in and stuck me with the job of opening the morning show. So on that note, I am fortunate to have in the studio with me Mr. Stephen Woodward. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Dorothy. Good morning, Leader Man. Good morning, everybody, on this therapeutic Thursday here in the Sandhills.
I also have in the studio with me this morning to facilitate conversations with Stephen. I have David Hensley. Good morning, David.
Good.
I see you over there bopping along to my...
Yeah, the era Shaboom. Of big bands is back.
I love big band music.
I congratulate you. I got to say, at home, you know, Lisa often plays Frank Sinatra. You know,
I love big band music. It drives my kids crazy. They're especially when I clean.
Yeah,
I put that on the radio or on the computer, play it loud, and they're just like, "Oh God, Mom's cleaning. I better go hide."
Well, that's great. I just fired up an unfiltered Chesterfield, and and I will be later on driving my Packard back to the house, and it'll be a glorious morning.
I want a Studebaker with some Muppets in the back seat to go on a road trip. So, what do you guys got on tap this morning? I see you were frantically scribbling some stuff, so I'm thinking you've got stuff on your mind, David. What you got on your mind today?
You know, my show preparation always consists of a frantic 3 minutes before we go live.
Hey, you do more than I do. I'm sitting here as the bumper music was playing going, okay, what am I going to say?
Well, you know, we just make it up as we go along.
Yep, so, that's what I do.
Look, I you know, I think to facilitate this morning's discussion, 4 years ago when I ran for the school board and I looked at the previous school board and I looked at everything that they did, I came up with a theory four years ago, probably 4.5 years ago now, and some people heard me articulate it, but what I developed 4 years ago has come true, right? It's been proven to be true, and then it applies everywhere, and then we watched it unfold at the federal level. And here's my theory. Is, you know, there's this Republican versus Democrat, there's this right versus left, and that is a false narrative, and it is that is not, look, if you are a, you know, within a standard deviation of the middle, right, the people on the other side of, you know, the median, they are not your foes, right? I mean, you may disagree a bit ideologically, but that's not your foe. And I think we could discuss this morning, if you really look at it, when I looked at, and you'll see this throughout, when I looked at the school board 4 years ago, I realized that who was really running the show, it was a coalition of the far left and the uniparty establishment. And that's who runs the show. And, you know, the far left would get, you know, they just wanted to do their far leftist stuff. They wanted to do their wokeism. They wanted to inject all their just far left ideas. And the Uniparty establishment, they just wanted to do their cronyism. You know, they wanted to do their contracts. They wanted to do their personal prestige. They wanted the prestige, the power, and the personal enrichment, right?
Yes.
And the fact of the matter,
sparkling new elementary schools and, you know, untethered spending and all that stuff in the name of the children, don't you know? It's always for the children.
Well, if you go, you know, if you take it to Sand Hills Community College, naming buildings after themselves and stuff like that. And the fact of the matter is the Uniparty crony establishment, who really controls both parties, right? They don't care, in the case of the school board, they, as long as they have their power, prestige, and personal enrichment, they did not care whether the school board was banning Heather Has Two Mommies or using it as the curriculum.
Correct. And they also did not concern themselves with, you know, minor details like reading and math proficiency and whether or not there were adequate security officers in our schools to protect kids from the inevitable tumult that occurs these days because we have so many unparented children and who are, in many cases, struggling with hidden mental illness.
Right. Neither side cared about reading and writing, and neither side, you know, as you said, no one cared about fiscal responsibility, no one cared about, you know, the safety of our faculty, staff, and students, and no one cared about reading and writing. The far radical left just wanted to implement their wokeism, and again, the crony establishment. Look, I cannot say this enough. The crony establishment, who leads, by the way, in many cases, the Republican Party, they really do not care whether the schools, whether it's Sand Hill. Look at Sand Hills Community College under Republican leadership, Board of Trustees. They implemented a whole DEI office. You know, they had all kinds of woke programs on campus, and that was why, you know, Republican George Little was chair and Republican Larry Cadell was chair.
And now, of course, thankfully, that DEI office has been eliminated,
right?
And there is reform underway. So, you know, once the curtain is drawn back, it's very hard for the wokesters to maintain their status quo. And so I will give some credit to the new. I will give quite a bit of credit to the new college president for you know, facilitating these changes. And of course, we also know that due to reform-minded people on the soon-to-be outgoing school board, there have been some improvements, albeit incremental, in our public education system as well. I think you would agree with that.
Yeah, and I think we could save talking about the school board for the second hour, if you don't mind, Steve, because, you know, there's a few things to say. But yes, I mean, you know, there was remarkable reform of Moore County schools in the first 2.5 years I was on the school board. And as you're, you know, I'll point out next week, the vast majority of that reform, the new strategic plan, you know, getting rid of ineffective or ideologically driven administrators, much of that stuff happened in the second year I was on the school board, why Pam Thompson was the chair. Because although Pam Thompson was a Democrat, she was not a far leftist. And, you know, that's what we're seeing in Washington, D.C. If you look up there at the stage and you see Donald Trump, RFK Jr., Tulsi Gabbard, and Elon Musk, all of which were lifelong Democrats, by the way, and you're sitting there, you know, overwhelming support, it is specifically because they're not cronies. They're not cronies, and they're not far leftist. And the winning coalition, the winning coalition is the people in the middle, a standard deviation of the center, who reject both the crony Uniparty establishment and the radical ideology of the far left.
Correct. And they are now breathing that that fresh air of liberation from the iron boot of the Uniparty with each and every passing day. We still haven't really cleared that out of our state legislature, and we really haven't cleared it out of the United States Congress either. There's still people like Senator Tom Tillis
right.
up there.
Illustrates it. He illustrates the crony establishment.
Who,
in
by
spades.
The way, is the North Carolina's senior senator, not for very much longer, thankfully. But and he's not alone, by the way. I mean, obviously, outgoing Mitch McConnell. The new Republican leader and majority leader, John Thune, has to prove that he has de-webbed his feet.
Boy, we got to keep an eye on that guy.
Sure, you have to. Of course, we're beginning to sort of, I guess, tolerate House Speaker Mike Johnson. He's been palling around with Elon and the boys too. He was at the big Ultimate Fighting event at the Garden the other night in his Harry Potter suit.
That's exactly what I was going to say, man. You look at those pictures from that UFC fight, man, and it looks like a motley crew, right? I mean,
right.
Everyone looks like been there, done that. You know, Trump's a fighter. Elon Musk looks. Rough, you know, everybody.
Don Jr.
Everybody looked like they belong there, and then in the back, you're like, "Who's that? Where's Waldo, dude?" Right? And you're like, "Oh wait, Waldo. That's Speaker Johnson.
Yeah.
He looked like a duck out of water."
Speaker Alfred E. Newman Johnson. Yes.
But you know, I gotta say, I have to say, and I forgot the example. He said some stuff in the last couple of days. I'm like, you know what? Maybe he'll come around. Maybe. I forgot what it was, but he said a couple of things, and I'm like, yeah, you know. So we'll see about what Speaker Johnson does.
But you know, to your point, as soon as the afterglow of Election Day begins to fade, even these crony. Defending publications like the Wall Street Journal are already beginning to slowly turn on the incoming Trump presidency. Today they've allowed Karl Rove, Mr.
God.
Uniparty,
yeah.
to write a column bearing the headline, "Trump Sends Clowns to Confirmation Circus." And then Wall Street Journal editorial, the House Ethics Report on Matt Gaetz, Senate should demand to see it before confirming him as Attorney General. So they cannot stand the idea that non-uniparty, non-conforming individuals like Matt Gaetz and like Pete Hegseth for Department of Defense and several others would, you know, Tulsi Gabbard for National Defense Head of DNI. Right? Is that DNI?
Director of National Intelligence.
National Intelligence, yeah. They cannot fathom that these people who are not coming down the factory line from the Uniparty cookie cutter machine would dare ever be considered for key
Can't
roles in a
it.
Cabinet. And yet that's exactly what 77 million people voted for before and on November 5th.
Well, and of the 75 million who did not vote for that, 60 million of them won it. They just don't realize it yet.
That's true.
I do want to say, though, all that stuff that you read from the Wall Street Journal, right?
Yes.
You know, Karl Rove attacking this person attacking this. That leads me to my second theory, and I'll flesh this out a bit. The uniparty establishment, right? The one thing that they cannot tolerate, whether it is the people you mentioned, you know, the Hexbreath, Tulsi Gabbard, RFK Jr., Donald Trump, the one thing that they cannot tolerate, whether it's on the local school board in Moore County, whether it's Donald Trump, or whether it's Del Falwell. We'll talk about that. And I've got a great illustration of that at the state level. What the uniparty establishment cannot tolerate, they cannot tolerate a principled person who, with conservative principles and values. They cannot tolerate a principled conservative who's an effective control, effective reformer who they cannot control. Let me say I stuttered a bit. The uniparty establishment cannot tolerate and will do everything they can to destroy an effective, principled conservative reformer. And, you know,
that's absolutely right. I mean, look what you've been through the last 4 years on the local level.
Well, and tying it back to my first theory, look, when we first got on the school board and we just crushed the, we just got the wokeism right out of Moore County schools, Hensley was okay, right? And then when we put in a good strategic plan, and this all happened again under Democrat, moderate Democrat Pam Thompson, when we, you know, when we got rid of ineffective and ideologically driven administrators, that was cool, right? But the minute I started going after the cronyism, sacred cows. You know, the remaining center of gravity for the uniparty establishment in Moore County was Sand Hills Community College. The minute we got reformers on that board, they tried to destroy me. They absolutely, and that's when, you know, you talk about how, you know, you do stuff to make the enemy pop up their heads, like, you know, these, well, look at the appointments that Trump's made. You know, boy, all of the rhinos, they pop their heads up. We know who they are now, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, that's where Levy revealed himself as a member of the uniparty establishment. And they, for the next year and a half, they did everything they could to try to destroy me and keep me from being an effective reformer.
Yes, but, you know, you... You just weren't polite enough, David. I mean, it's all about, you know,
nasty tweets.
it's all about decorum, isn't it? And maintaining that sort of veneer of the humble public servant. That's what really matters, not the outcomes.
Well, it's very...
Haven't you figured out anything yet? Yeah, Come on, man.
If you rubber stamp everything that's put in front of you, then you don't make any enemies. But, you know, you're not doing the job of the people. And you're certainly not sticking up for your principles and values.
You know, in along the lines of what we're discussing, there was a really well thought out, beautifully written piece making the case for what we're discussing by Andrew Dunn, who pens a blog on Substack.com called Longleaf Politics. I encourage you to go look it up from November 18, which, if I'm correct, was 3 days ago. And basically, the headline tells it all. Does anybody even want a Republican governor in North Carolina? And he concludes that the General Assembly leaders absolutely prefer a Democrat as governor.
Absolutely.
And people are like, well, what happened to poor Mark Robinson? I mean, he really got the short shrift. He really got a raw deal, didn't he? No, he got the exact deal that was choreographed from the get-go.
So what a great lead-in. Man, we're hitting on all cylinders this morning, Steve.
Writes Andrew Dunn, the General Assembly has fought to maintain its dominance over state politics, no matter the party of the governor. A Republican governor, quote, just dilutes their power, end quote.
So let's look at the governor race, right? So there were two candidates. There was Del Falwell and there was Mark Robinson for the Republican primary. And the uniparty establishment, they did everything they could to make sure Mark Robinson got the nomination. And here's why. There were three potential outcomes, right? Del Falwell got the nomination and he would get elected. Mark Robinson gets the nomination, or he doesn't get elected. Mark Robinson gets the nomination and he gets elected, or he doesn't get elected, right? If Del Falwell would have got the nomination, then, and he would have won the governorship, then we would have had an effective, proven reformer with conservative values. And under no circumstances can the uniparty establishment, under no circumstances does Phil Berger or Tim Moore or the crony establishment, under no circumstances could they accept a Del Falwell because he was an effective reformer. So instead, they made sure Mark Robinson got the nomination because... With Mark Robinson, with the nomination, there was no downside to the uniparty swamp. If he got elected, Mark Robinson was someone they could control, and he would not have been an effective reformer. And if he lost, they got a Democrat governor. No downside to the uniparty establishment, to the Mark Robinson, whether he won or lost.
That's correct. And, you know, I have to say that, you know, many of us in the Republican Party played right into this, and it pains me to acknowledge that. But, you know, I can remember in the days, and say, call it a year or two right after Robinson was elected lieutenant governor in what was considered a fairy tale ending, yep. One for the ages. The booming voice from Greensboro, who went viral on a YouTube channel at the Greensboro City Council meeting, defending the Second Amendment. All good stuff, by the way.
Yep.
But we all embraced this barrel chested Southern preachers, fire and venom, pulpit pounding, and it was pretty inspiring, I have to say. But nobody looked, peeked their nose under the tent, and any journalists who tried to do that and did do that, such as Brantley Clifton, the Daily Haymaker, yep. were dismissed as, well, what are you, some kind of a racist? I mean, we have a black lieutenant governor here, and we played right into the identity politics. False narrative that the Democrats use all the time to prop up unqualified people in elected office. And instead of having a Republican leadership that said, okay, wait, let's step back here. Let's judge this person by his job performance as lieutenant governor. Well, right. The fact of the matter is he rarely spent a day as lieutenant governor. He spent almost every day as the presumptive nominee for governor of North Carolina beginning in 2021. And we all marched lockstep with that narrative. And so I have to say, you know, there's blame to go around across a wide spectrum.
Yeah, and, well, you know, 2 points. First of all, you know, can anyone name me anything that Mark Robinson accomplished as lieutenant governor? Nothing. I can't think of a thing. And secondly...
Well, other than delivering a few sound bites that Josh Stein used very effectively in the campaign, like berating women who can't, quote, keep their skirts down.
Oh, my God. That was so embarrassing.
In other words, to demonize the potential victims, potentially saying that women who need abortions deserve what they got. And that was the message of that of the Stein campaign, which, of course, you know, was brilliant because that played right into the his narrative of the, you know, the pro-abortion voter. So
and going back to Brant Clifton and the Daily Haymaker, and here's some evidence about what the uniparty swamp's plan was. All the accusations that came out against Mark Robinson, the daycare stuff, his dietary company?
Well, his wife ran a company that was, that was government subsidized and
Balanced Nutrition. Yeah. All that stuff was known before the primary.
Yeah.
Because the Daily Haymaker, Brant Clifton on the Daily Haymaker, ran stories about the daycare center and ran stories about Balanced Nutrition. It was all known in the primary, but the uniparty establishment did everything they could to make sure that was suppressed. Brant Clifton was ridiculed, marginalized, and they could not have Del Falwell. And most people don't even know Del Falwell's history. He started off on a school board. He went to the General Assembly. He became the state treasurer. And his entire time in public service, impeccable conservative values and principles, impeccable record. But what Del Falwell's, you know, the reason the uniparty establishment could not tolerate him is when Phil Berger and Tim Moore, when they were talking Medicare expansion and Green New Deal and all these programs, which, by the way, Governor Cooper wanted, Del Falwell was saying, look how expensive this is. Medicare reform, you're not doing the full accounting. You're not. So Del Falwell dared to tell the truth, and Del Falwell dared to be a fiscal conservative. Therefore, they try to destroy him because, once again, they cannot tolerate a principled, effective reformer that they cannot control. And that's why we lost the race.
And I guarantee you, no state treasurer in the history of this country has ever done the Lord's work that Dale Falwell did in terms of eliminating a huge budget deficit, leaving us with a massive rainy day fund, calling out the health care cartels, and he called them cartels each and every chance that he could get, predicting correctly that the quality of health care would be diminished by Medicare expansion. Yep. Which it will be. And he called into this radio station every other Wednesday for several years and spoke truth to power. And he couldn't get more than, 15% of the vote for governor?
Well,
it was absurd.
So anyway, look, to summarize, Hensley has two theorems, and I think they're both proven to be true, is that the common opponents for everybody within a standard deviation of the middle is the coalition between the far left and the crony uniparty establishment. And then secondly, that coalition cannot tolerate a principled conservative who's an effective reformer that they cannot control. After 4 years as an elected official, that is my takeaway, and that applies to the county level, that applies to the state level, and it certainly applies to the federal level. And if you think of it in that terms and you look at every single situation, it applies. It never not applies.
That's correct.
And that's what we have to break up. I'm sorry to interrupt.
That's correct.
That is what we have to disrupt, and we the people have to disrupt that, and we have to break up that coalition, and we have to put in a fiscally responsible, efficient government who ensures maximum liberties for all. Just as we are offended by the left trying to tell us how to live our lives, I find it equally offensive for the far right to tell the left how to live their lives. We need maximum freedom for all.
Well, gentlemen, we have just about reached the end of our first hour.
You were here, Dorothy.
That's okay. Most people do. Here's the weather.
And now, the Sandhills' number one morning show. Mornings with the Leader Man, here on Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM and 990 AM WEEB, and heard and seen around the world at talk973.com.
The best part of waking up is waking up with us. Travel on, there's one day here and the next day gone. Sometimes you bend, sometimes you stand, sometimes you turn your back to the wind. There's a world outside every darkened door. The blues won't haunt you anymore. Where the brave are free and lovers soar. Come ride with me to the distant shore. We won't hesitate to break down the garden gate. There's not much time left today.
Good morning, Talk 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM WEEB. You're listening to Mornings with the Leader Man. We're back here in our second hour of the morning show. Steve is still out with pneumonia. He's trying to get those last dregs of crud out of his throat so he can come back and take over this seat. Brad has decided to take the day off and sleep in. Little slacker that he is. I am fortunate that I have in the studio with me Stephen Woodward, as always. Good morning, Stephen. Welcome back.
Good morning, Dorothy. Good morning, Leader Man. Good morning, everybody, on this thought-provoking Thursday here in the beautiful Sand Hills.
That it is a thought-provoking Thursday, because you and our other guest in the studio have had a rather riveting conversation that first hour. I also have with me Mr. David Hensley. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Dorothy. Good morning, everyone. Glad to be back from Radio Free Southern Pines.
Hey.
And you're right. We bring an hour's worth of content into 30 minutes. It's
yes.
Unbelievable.
Yes. Yes, you guys talk fast.
In there. Yes.
So what do you have on tap this hour? Because you guys covered a lot of stuff last hour, which will be up on our website here later this morning when I edit it and get it up there.
Well, for those people who didn't tune into the first hour, why don't we just start off with just a real quick recap of what we covered in the first from 7:30 to 8. And that is two ideas that we discussed. The first is that and we've seen it at the local level and all the way up to the federal government, is that the true enemy, that's just the word that comes to mind, but the true opposition, it is not moderate Republicans, moderate Democrats. The true opposition, the opponents, is our government, whether it was the school board, whether it was Sand Hills Community College, whether it was the state government or federal government. The people who've been running the show, is it was a coalition between the far left, who just wanted to implement their wokeism and stuff, didn't care about anything else, and the uniparty cronies who just wanted, they wanted their power, their prestige, and the financial gain. So, look, if you're within a standard deviation of the middle, right or left, when you look across the line, that's not your opponents. The opponent is that of all of us is this coalition between the far left and the uniparty establishment. And then the second thing we talked about, and we tied it to the governor's race, and we tied it to my personal experience, is that what the uniparty, what that coalition, boy, they can do, you know, put up with a lot of stuff, but the one thing that coalition cannot tolerate under any circumstance is a principled person, an elected official, or a person who's on a board. But let's say that coalition cannot tolerate an elected official who is a principled person, who's an effective reformer that they cannot control. And they will do anything in their power to destroy an elected official, a member of the media, or a person on a board or running a department who is a principled person that's an effective reformer that they cannot control. So that's kind of where we were at the end of the first hour.
Sometimes they'll even allow a federal agency to let a greasy-haired kid climb up on a roof and take a shot at him.
No, I mean, look, they tried to kill Donald Trump exactly because he's an effective reformer that they cannot control.
You are correct. And by the way, that whole the entrenchment of the uniparty was on display just in the past couple of days up in Raleigh during the General Assembly coming back in. How else would you end up with a bill that combines two completely unrelated things, which is disaster relief for Western North Carolina and the funding of opportunity scholarships? Now, that tells you everything you need to know about what happens when the uniparty rules, because it is an inappropriate conjoining of two spending measures. And it creates this very impossible proposition where, well, if you don't support this bill, then you're against disaster relief. But wait, if you don't support this bill, you're against helping kids break free from the public education industrial right. complex, which is destroying their minds and leaving them unprepared to enter the world as productive citizens. So what's the choice?
Well, you know, hopefully, you know, that's an omnibus bill. And, you know, hopefully Donald Trump, President Trump, when he gets into office, I hope he refuses to sign those giant omnibus bills that are just chock full of crap that the crony establishment shoves into him.
Well, they're already talking right now. Little Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, you know, trying to weigh the necessity of another continuing resolution between now and the end of the year to keep the government funded, to keep it from shutting down. That would be the most glorious thing, would be an extended government shutdown, because then we could really see how little these bureaucrats actually do when they go to work. And by the way, do you know that post-COVID, something like only 17% of the federal bureaucracy actually works in a federal office building on an average day?
And I guarantee you,
they're all working from home.
And I guarantee you, the federal government is still paying leases on all those empty buildings.
You're absolutely right.
Guarantee you, just fraud, waste, and abuse. 100%.
But anyway, we don't want to get too far off the rails here. But that was, I think, that was a good summation in the first segment this morning.
Yeah. So, you know, let's look at the crony establishment up in Raleigh, right? I mean, you know, you've got Phil Berger and the departing Tim Moore, who have just, you know, run roughshod. I mean, you know, they tried to give us, they gave us everything Roy Cooper wanted, Governor Cooper. They gave the left green energy. They gave the left Medicaid expansion. And then on top of that, you know, they tried, over the objection, by the way, of our great elected officials here in Moore County, you know, our representatives opposed this. But, you know, Senator Berger tried to shove legalized marijuana down our throats. And look, I am for maximum freedom. I am actually not opposed to legalized marijuana. I mean, you know, if you're going to have alcohol legal, you know, either make alcohol illegal and marijuana legal, or just legalize marijuana. But the fact of the matter is, they didn't run on that. And they also tried to shove, legalized gambling and casinos down our throats just to benefit their own districts, by the way.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
And, you know, that's cronyism. That's cronyism. And our elected delegates stood up against it. I'm proud of them.
And, you know, they have very little tolerance for any opposition to their wish lists. In fact, just this morning, we've received word from a very reliable source that our own Senator Tom McGinnis apparently has been removed as majority whip in the General Assembly.
I wonder if he got advice from Levy on how to handle effective reformers that he can't control, or someone who opposes him.
But this is the price that you pay for opposing the legalized casino gambling, which is the last thing we need in North Carolina, and also for being an opponent of the legal marijuana, and many other things, by the way. That we talked about earlier with regard to healthcare reform and reeling in the medical cartels that rule with an iron fist and force untested vaccines down our throats, i.e. the COVID-19 mRNA vaxes, which are not vaxes, but yeah, that's what happens. So.
Well, and you know, so let's tie this back to the school board. The embarrassing, disastrous results of the school board election where, you know, take Bob Levy. You know, I mean, Republicans in Moore County, when all the other Republicans, you know, on the up ballot, you know, they won between 20 and 30 points, and Levy lost by 5. I mean, he trailed by 25 to 35 points, how a Republican should perform. And that's because for the last year and a half, the school board didn't do anything important to the people. You know, where's the school construction? Where is, you know, taking care of our people and revisiting locality pay? Where's, you know, all those things? And the same thing at the state. You know, I want the DMV office to work. I don't want to make an appointment 3 months in advance to get a driver's license. You know, why don't our elected officials concentrate on the fiscal responsibility and the efficient running of government. But no, you know, the leadership of the Senate, you know, wants to focus on casinos and, you know, legalized marijuana.
Well, now that you've been reelected to the school board, Mr. Hensley, you have a tall task before you, because there are a couple of folks left over from the 2022 election, such as Ms. Bruno and Mr. Benway, yep, and Shannon Davis, who should be able to align with you on some of the key issues that still face us in public education, and this will be their moment to show that they are truly committed to the reforms that were begun. And so all is not lost, but the fact of the matter is that there have been a couple of people elected to the board, newly elected, who are fierce defenders of the public education status quo, who believe that any criticism of a public school teacher is unwarranted, because don't you know how hard they work, and don't you know how much they care, even though their students can't read or write half the time.
Okay, so I really didn't want to talk about the school board today, but you know what? Here we are, so here it comes.
Well, right? I mean, we can always go talk about the motorsports park in the Uwari Forest.
I cannot wait for that, man. I am warming my cars up as we speak. They're going to be idling for the next 2 years waiting for that track to open.
I love disabling that button in my car that turns the engine off at stoplights.
You know, we need to get you a car that you hit a button and it goes into track mode.
That's the most annoying
feature
in contemporary vehicles, is that energy-saving button.
Foisted upon us by the federal government. Anyway, so let's do talk about the school board a bit. So, you know what? We're actually sitting on a golden precipice where we can do great things. First, let me back up and correct you a bit. I know. I put that very politely. Did you see the way I've learned, right? You just have to say, you dumbass. You know, look. First of all, the problems in education and in Moore County schools were never the teacher's fault. The problem were ineffective or ideologically driven administrators who foisted, you know, nonsense upon the teachers and the rest of the staff. So the problem was never the faculty and staff. The problem was ineffective or ideologically driven administrators, which were either put there purposely by the previous school board, or at least tolerated by the previous school board. And we got rid of them. You know, we got rid of the ineffective or ideologically driven administrators and replaced them with highly qualified people. So let me give a quick sit rep and then talk about where I hope we're going to go in the future, and I think we're going to do this.
You're going to do some sit-ups, did you say?
No, I'm not doing sit-ups. Okay, I need to do some sit-ups. But
a sit-rep.
A sit-rep, okay. A situation report.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Major.
Yes, sir. Anyway, so look, we've made great strides in reforming Moore County schools, and that was a mandate by the people. It was the good citizens who stood up, and, you know, they got us elected, and they put their trust and confidence in us, and with their support, and them working, you know, showing up at meetings, speaking out, and all that stuff, we did remarkable reform. So let's look at what we have got right. First of all, we got the right team. First of all, we got the wokeism out. By the way, almost all of this happened the second year I was in office, while Pam Thompson was chair. And
yes, well, we were all suffocating behind those ridiculous masks.
Well, yeah, and look, part of what forced it was, and look, Pam Thompson, moderate Democrat, and that's okay, because, you know, she wasn't part of the uniparty establishment. She wasn't part of that coalition, right? She was a moderate Democrat from North Moore who wanted to do the right thing. She had been hoodwinked, right, by, like, other people are hoodwinked. But anyway, so really under her tutelage, We got rid of the woke stuff. We implemented our new strategic plan, which is pretty much spot on. we replace ideologically and ineffective administrators. We got and then once Dr. Locklear and his team got into place, we've got the right curriculum, we got the right academic curriculums, we got the right academic programs in place, and we're seeing the fruits of that. The best thing that we can do right now with our curriculum is quit tinkering with it. Let the professionals that Dr. Locklear has assembled, let them continue to run it. And in 2 to 3 years from now, we're already seeing it. We're going to have remarkable results, right? And then the other thing we did is we restored discipline in our schools. So those are all great reforms. Unfortunately, you know, when Levy and Holmes did their little coup against me because the establishment couldn't tolerate an effective reformer they couldn't control, all those reforms stopped. And you saw that in the election results. You know, a couple things went into it, but a major part of it is the people in Moore County rightfully observed that the last year and a half of the school board was completely wasted. Rather than focus on things that are important reforms that are important to the people, the school board went off the rails and started doing all this goofy stuff, school uniforms. The school board literally voted not to allow elementary school teachers to have a duty-free lunch break. And it was ironic because the school board, when they did that vote, they just came off of a duty-free break where they ate food provided by the taxpayers. And the same school board who voted, I voted against this, by the way, the same school board that voted voted against elementary school teachers having a duty-free lunch, they take a duty-free lunch every single school board meeting, and they go in the back under cover of darkness, and they eat taxpayer-provided food. I mean, so we paid the price for that. So what does the future look like? Well, I can assure you that in December, we're going to get back to the business of the people. We're going to get back, and we're going to continue the reforms. And all the reforms, or at least what I would suggest that we focus on, they're really the business processes. Again, we got the right, you know, we jettisoned wokeism. We got the right team in place. We got the right programs. We restored, student discipline. So I would suggest that, look, we got 5 things to work on and then we're done. And then we can just go back to kissing babies and cutting ribbons. First thing we got to do, we have to put in a well-defined planning process that involves all the stakeholders, to include the public and the county commissioners. And this planning process has to be not done in secret. It's done in the open. And we develop courses. You know, we get people's input. We develop courses of action with approximate price tags. And then we present people courses of action, not a take it or leave it. Oh, here's the final thing, right? So we have to have a well-defined, iterative and inclusive planning process. We have to apply that to our construction. We have to come up with a comprehensive, well-defined, and thought-out school construction plan that we've got, that the stakeholders can believe in and that the stakeholders support. And if we do that and we know what the end state is going to be going into it, you know, the county commissioners will fund that because everybody wants good facilities and everybody wants to invest in our public schools. What they don't want to fund is harebrained schemes and then just wondering, oh, what's next? So we
exactly.
Just need a transparent planning process.
And a responsible plan, strategic plan for the new school construction that is inevitable, that must take place in the not too distant future. I mean, that to me sounds like an absolute priority.
It is. And unfortunately, I mean, they made some strides and Miss Purvis, you know, our operations officer, you know, she's got some good plans and ideas, but she's been frustrated because she hasn't been getting good guidance and direction, clear guidance and direction from the board. So hopefully we're going to get right on that in December. The third thing is, you know, extracurricular activities are so important to the development of our young people. You know, leadership, you know, leadership. God, there's something else. I can't. Anyway.
The teleprompter just broke.
I know, right? I'm like Harris in a teleprompter, but you know.
Well, just be allow yourself to be unburdened from the past.
Oh, here we go. That did it. So look, extracurricular activities, whether it's athletic, performing arts, fine arts, chess club, doesn't matter. It's important to the character development of our young people. It's important to the leadership, and you know, if nothing else, it keeps them off the street. So we need to look at what we pay our coaches and other people who do. Coaches are so important to the development of our young people. We need to look at the stipends we pay them. It's almost nothing. And we need to look at the facilities. And the way we need to look at the facilities is they want to double the occupancy tax in Moore County. That's about $3 million a year. And rather than that go to the Convention or Visitor Bureau for them to dole out, you know, in some sort of, you know, process, like build an amphitheater at Sand Hills Community College is what they want to spend that money on. We need to take that money and we need to use it to build our athletic facilities. It's required by law to use for facilities that promote tourism. Well, how about we invest in our athletic facilities and we use it for athletic tourism? So, you know, my daughter was on a travel volleyball team and we used to have to go to tournaments in Charlotte and, you know, Richmond and Wilmington and stuff. Well, how about we upgrade our facilities, whether it's, you know, our football fields, our volleyball our volleyball courts, and then our student, and our performing arts centers too. And then our student athletes and others, they have world-class facilities to do their stuff in. And then we can host travel teams, which is good for our travel tournaments, which is good for our economic development. And then parents, instead of having to go to Wilmington or Richmond or wherever for football or volleyball travel tournaments, they can stay here and let people come to us. Right.
What a concept.
Right. So we need to make sure that occupancy tax, and the way you do that is I would support doubling the occupancy tax. If there's a local bill put in the General Assembly and passed that states that increased money has to go to Moore County schools for dual use purposes. Then finally, we have to, you know, there's a lot of people talked about this, and Amy Dahl, boy, she ran on this. Look, we have to fix our recruiting and retention. And I agree with that. I've been shouting that from the rooftop. So how do you do it? Well, you know, we have to look at how we're recruiting. We have to look at our recruiting message. We have to look at locality pay. You know, locality pay is money that counties, districts pay to make up for the cost of living. The cost of living has gone up significantly in Moore County compared to surrounding communities. And I brought this up several times under Chair Levy, and boy, he just shot it down immediately. So we need to revisit locality pay for our people. And then the last thing I would say to help our recruiting retention is we need to set up daycare centers. You know, right now, some schools, it's left up to the principals, and some of our schools have daycare centers. And what we need to do is we need to have a program at Moore County Schools where we figure out how many, you know, how much daycare do we need for our faculty and staff. And we need to place strategic daycare centers around our county. And we have free or essentially free, very low cost daycare for our faculty and staff. And you're like, wow, David, how are you going to fund that? That's easy. Is you take your excess capacity and you sell it to the public at market rates. So we would end up with what a recruiting tool and what a retention tool. How many people leave the workforce because they have a family and they can't afford daycare? We provide that for our workers, and we fund it by selling our excess capacity to the public at market rates. These are the things I articulated are the things that the current school board that's outbound in like a week, those are the sort of things that we should have been focusing on and fixing for the last year and a half. We didn't do it because under Levy and Davis, they were worried about school uniforms and all this other goofy stuff. And the people rightfully rebelled against that. And we saw the results of the polls.
And protracting discussions about inappropriate books in school libraries, which they should have just been, you know, summarily removed from the elementary schools as a starting point, and that would have taken care of a lot of the problem. But you know, with the ascension of the MAGA movement happening at this pivotal moment in history that we're a part of, there's no reason why it can't trickle down to the grassroots level.
Right. Yep.
And instead of worrying about decorum at school board meetings and whether or not people are being polite enough, let's roll up our sleeves and let's laser focus on our objectives, and let's move the ball forward. Let's do that. Yep. And that's what people really want. And all these naysayers out on the periphery there who are like, I would like to see more decorum during the school board meetings and fewer challenging questions. Well, too bad, you know. MAGA is ascending, and we're going to be great.
Yeah, and just in real quick summary, the things I outlined, I really believe going into December, I think that the board's going to unite. I think and these are my ideas. People have other ideas, but I think we focus on that. And, we finish these reforms. They're mostly business-oriented reforms. And then we're done. I really think we'll have the best school district in North Carolina. We just got to finish these reforms.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, for such a riveting show. There was a lot of stuff covered this morning.
You talk fast.
Yes, you do. There was a lot of stuff covered, and this podcast will be up on our website a little bit later this morning. So if you missed anything or want to re-listen to it, that's where it'll be, WEEB990.com. I hope everybody has a wonderful Thursday, and we'll be back here before long.
I come back, you'd better be laughing.
So, what have we learned? Heck, I don't know. But this is one crazy show. Bye now.
Cut, cut. That's it. Go home, everybody. None of this ever happened.
Well, y'all come back now, you hear?
I think we're through here.
Yeah, man. Thank you very much, man. That's pretty much all I got, man.
Okay, class dismissed. Rock on!
Well, let me tell you something. Everything comes to an end.
Broadcasting from the top of the North Carolina Sandhills, 97.3 FM, 104.1 FM, and 990 AM, WEEB, Southern Pines, Pinehurst.
News this hour from town.